Hi everyone, welcome back to the MedBullet Step 2 and 3 podcast. In today's episode, we cover the topic of pathological red blood cell forms found under the hematology section at medbullets.com. Let's begin by discussing the different pathological red blood cell forms and their associated pathology. Acanthocytes, or spur cells, are associated with liver disease and A-beta lipoproteinemia. Basophilic stippling is associated with lead poisoning. BiTE cells are associated with G6PD deficiency. Elliptocytes are associated with hereditary elliptocytosis. Macrovellocytes are associated with megaloblastic anemia and marrow failure. Ring sideroblasts are associated with sideroblastic anemia. Schistocytes, or helmet cells, are associated with DIC, TTP, HUS, and traumatic hemolysis. Sickle cells are associated with sickle cell anemia. Spherocytes are associated with hereditary spherocytosis or autoimmune hemolysis. Teardrop cells, or dacrocytes, are associated with bone marrow infiltration, such as in the case of myelofibrosis. Target cells are associated with asplenia, liver disease, thalassemia, and hemoglobin C disease. Heinz bodies occur when there is oxidation of iron. This is when the iron changes from the ferrous or 2+ form to the ferric or 3+ form. This causes denaturation of hemoglobin, which results in precipitation and damage to the red blood cell membrane. Macrophages then attempt to remove the cells, and they form BiTE cells. Specifically, this is associated with alpha thalassemia and G6PD deficiency. Hal-Jolly bodies are basophilic nuclear remnants found in red blood cells, and they are associated with functional hyposplenia or asplenia. Now that we've discussed the major points relating to pathological red blood cell forms, let's walk through some questions to apply what we've learned and get a sense of how the topic might be tested. For the first question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 55-year-old man presents to his primary care physician for fatigue. He states he has not felt like himself recently and had to take a few days off of work secondary to fatigue. He has lost 10 pounds over the past month. He drinks 4 drinks per day and smokes 1 pack of cigarettes per day, which he has done for the past 20 years. His temperature is 99 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.2 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 128 over 65. Pulse is 100 beats per minute. Respirations are 11 breaths per minute, and oxygen saturation is 98% on room air. Laboratory values are ordered and demonstrate a hemoglobin of 9, hematocrit of 27%, leukocyte count of 2,500 with a normal differential, platelet count of 93,000. A biopsy of the bone marrow is performed, which demonstrates hypocellular and fibrotic bone marrow, and a peripheral smear demonstrates dacrocytes. Which of the following is the most likely diagnosis? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, chronic myelogenous leukemia. Choice 2, hairy cell leukemia. Choice 3, iron deficiency anemia. Choice 4, myelofibrosis. Or Choice 5, polycythemia vera. The best answer to this question is Choice 4, myelofibrosis. This patient is presenting with fatigue, anemia, hypocellular and fibrotic bone marrow, and dacrocytes on peripheral smear, suggesting a diagnosis of myelofibrosis. Myelofibrosis presents with splenomegaly, anemia, thrombocytopenia or thrombocytosis, leukopenia or leukocytosis, fatigue, extramedullary hematopoiesis, bleeding, and immune abnormalities. Often these patients are asymptomatic and the diagnosis is made incidentally with blood work. Dacrocytes are a common finding that can be seen on peripheral smear, and a biopsy will reveal hypocellular and fibrotic bone marrow. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. Chronic myelogenous leukemia presents with systemic symptoms, fatigue, weight loss, a positive Philadelphia chromosome, and an elevated white blood cell count. Choice 2. Hairy cell leukemia presents with hairy cells on peripheral smear, which are typically tartrate-resistant acid phosphatase positive. Choice 3. Iron deficiency anemia presents with fatigue and microcytic red blood cells with central pallor on peripheral smear. Choice 5. Polycythemia vera typically presents with pruritus and an increased red blood cell count versus a decreased one. Finally, a bullet summary. Myelofibrosis presents with fatigue, anemia, splenomegaly, dacrocytes, and hypocellular or fibrotic bone marrow on biopsy. For the second question, consider the following clinical scenario. A 6-year-old boy is brought to a pediatric clinic to establish care. He and his family recently immigrated from Nigeria as refugees 2 weeks ago. According to his mother, the patient has a history of frequent hospitalizations back in Nigeria, but she is not certain why he was hospitalized in those instances. The patient currently takes no medications. He is up to date on his vaccination schedule. His temperature is 99.8 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37.7 degrees Celsius. Blood pressure is 105 over 72. Pulse is 76 beats per minute, and respirations are 12 breaths per minute. The patient's height and weight are in the 10th percentile. Physical exam reveals a thin, well-appearing boy with conjunctival pallor. There is no evidence of abdominal pain or hepatosplenomegaly. Initial laboratory testing revealed some abnormalities, prompting the pediatrician to order a peripheral blood smear, which demonstrated Hal Jolly bodies. Which of the following is the most likely cause of the findings seen on the blood smear? And the answer choices are: Choice 1, B12 deficiency. Choice 2, chronic bleeding. Choice 3, G6PD deficiency. Choice 4, Plasmodium falciparum. Or choice 5, sickle cell disease. The best answer to this question is choice 5, sickle cell disease. This patient has Hal Jolly bodies on peripheral blood smear indicating splenic dysfunction, which is most likely due to sickle cell disease. Hal Jolly bodies are basophilic remnants of nuclear material found in erythrocytes. These inclusions are normally removed by the spleen, but can persist in patients with absent or decreased splenic function. Common causes include prior splenectomy, sickle cell hemoglobinopathies, alcoholism, and congenital disorders. Surgical removal of the spleen can be indicated for traumatic injury or for therapeutic reasons, such as treatment of hereditary spherocytosis and immune thrombocytopenic purpura. In sickle cell disease, splenic sequestration of sickled red blood cells causes infarction, leading to progressive atrophy and functional asplenia. Let's also discuss why the other choices are incorrect. Choice 1. B12 deficiency can cause basophilic stippling, which are aggregates of ribosomes or RNA in the cytoplasm of circulating erythrocytes. Unlike other erythrocytic inclusions, basophilic stippling is diffusely and evenly scattered throughout the cell. Choice 2. Chronic bleeding can cause an increase in reticulocytes, which are immature circulating erythrocytes that indicate increased bone marrow erythropoiesis. On histology, reticulocytes appear larger and bluer than a mature red blood cell and have a mesh-like network of ribosomal RNA. Choice 3. G6PD deficiency can cause Heinz bodies, which are aggregates of irreversibly denatured hemoglobin attached to the erythrocyte plasma membrane and indicative of oxidative injury. On histology, they typically present as multiple, small, and basophilic. Choice 4. Plasmodium falciparum parasite identification on a GM-sustained peripheral blood smear is the standard tool for diagnosing malaria. Erythrocytes will contain classic ring-shaped or headphone-shaped trophozytes. Finally, a bullet summary. Hal Jolly bodies are basophilic inclusions in red blood cells that indicate absent or decreased splenic function. That's all for this review about pathological red blood cell forms. We hope that was helpful. This is the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast, a daily audio review session for MedBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for medical student education. As a reminder, you can follow along with these podcast episodes by reviewing the topics directly on MedBullets.com. You can listen to these episodes on the MedBullets website or phone app while reading through the topic. If the MedBullets podcast has been valuable to you, we'd be thrilled if you considered leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow, right here, on the MedBullets Step 2 and 3 podcast.